Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Gatecast 87, otherwise known as the end of Season 4.
Woohoo! Good evening, folks. This is going to be a good one. The episode, anyway. I'm not sure about us, Bear, but we'll see.
We apparently have fans. They used the wrong email address, but we still have fans. Right. Let me just pull up the... I have the line already tilted.
Yep, he's ready to go.
That could be taken up so wrong. Well, let's face it. It's kind of like cow tipping, but it's an extreme sport. No? Okay.
I'm sorry. Exactly what reaction did you want from that little joke? Picturing people creeping up on lions as they slip. Ship them over.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.
The right finger hovering over spacebar. A 3, a 2, a 1. Let me lower the line a bit. And previously. We have... Oh, previously.
Previously.
Tamas.
It is my honor to pledge my allegiance to the Tok'ra.
He just looks dodgy.
He does. Peter Wingfield does a fantastic job with him.
He makes... The thing is, surely if he were a Tok'ra symbiote, he would have entered through the mouth, not the neck. Yeah. Ooh, that's a very ticked-off looking Teok.
Yeah. On the commentary track, they actually joke a long previously on because the episode ran short. I mean, Joseph Malozzi, one of the writers of this episode, actually commented on so much backstory they've got to try to cover in these brief snippets. Mm-hmm. Actually gets confusing for people who are trying to figure out what's going on by watching this because there's so much packed into it.
Yes.
What do we do with the other Jaffa once we've dealt with Kronos and Tyr?
Yeah, they're really making the most.
Why are they showing the clone one? To show the Kronos is dead.
That's what I mean. It could get rather confusing. If this was the first Stargate episode you were watching and previously on, you'd go, what the hell's going on?
Bloody.
Go tell your people Kronos is dead.
And we have a mothership.
Yes, with... a four-sided mothership landing on a three-sided pyramid.
Yes.
Which we commented on last time.
Oh, beautiful shot this is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nicely through the... This is what I don't get.
Mm.
This thing is apparently designed to operate in atmosphere. It's, quote with Douglas Adams' phrase, it hangs in the air exactly the way bricks don't. Seriously.
Well, some sort of anti-gravity technology, isn't it?
Yeah, but even it's not just anti-gravity. You have to have something... which pushes the solid atmosphere.
Oh, you mean some... Well, not necessarily, because if you can nullify gravity, you can actually use a planet's gravity well to power you.
Even so, you're going to get atmospheric friction.
Yeah, that's what the shields are for. Mm. You don't matter what shape the actual vessel is. If you can shape the shields into an aerodynamic screen, then you're fine.
Hey, kids. We're not parking in a red zone, are we?
So, written by Joseph Mazzello and Paul Mully, and directed by David Worry Smith, who we've seen before.
Yes, many a time. It was actually pretty, what was it? I lost my train of thought completely.
Oopsie.
Pretty much of an honour for Joseph and Paul to get the nod to write the season finale, because this is the actual first season with the show. So it demonstrates how quickly they've synced into the franchise.
Or how much they bribed the producers. Yes, here's money. Can we write it, please? Well, it could also be enough rope to hang themselves, you know. You screw this up, you're fired.
Yeah. Although I suppose Peter DeLuise did need a break every now and again.
Well, yeah, he can't write everything.
And we're back. Exodus.
Well, Exodus, not Exodus.
We didn't want to give him any warning.
Didn't suspect you're onto him?
Not that we know of. We'll see soon enough.
Carmen.
Nice casual walk through the Tok'ra base. The big Tok'ra base.
The very incredibly well-lit Tok'ra base. It's really, really bright. Haven't previous Tok'ra bases been somewhat darker?
Well, they've been set up here for quite a while, haven't they? So they probably put a few light fixtures in. They really hate doing the wiring when it may have to get ripped down the following day. Tok'ra electricians,
gets,
you know.
It gets dissolved.
We have a little surprise planned, shall we?
Yeah, why don't we have a Stargate from the gallery episode? And there's David.
Colonel O'Neill, Teal'c, allow me to welcome you and your team back to Vorash. High Council Persis sends his greetings.
Always a pleasure.
I must say, Colonel, I was most intrigued by your means of arrival.
Yeah, it's a sweet ride. A little rusty, but still gets it.
How exactly did a gold mothership come into your possession?
Well, it was kind of a trade deal.
How so?
Cronus gave us his ship, and he got what was coming to him.
Really? Cronus is dead?
And the incredibly uncomfortable chairs at the counter table, if memory serves.
I'm sure they've got a little bit of padding.
Well, I mean, these are all sort of, to use a Star Trek phrase, joined. Therefore, maybe they can just sort of, the symbiotes can block any uncomfortable signals from the rear region.
Could be. Right at the moment, he's a little bit of crowing. Good for Tanith, he got the reference pretty damn quick.
Mm-hmm.
He's thinking, wait for it.
Oh, yeah.
We've been aware of your duplicity from the beginning. You deceived and then murdered the Jafar Shannok. You took the host Hebron, and you've been acting as a spy amongst us ever since.
And that's Selmac, isn't it? That's not Jack. That's not Shredder.
Yeah, that's Selmac.
So with the sound low, it's hard to tell who's talking. And of course, it's going to be Teal'c that delivers it.
Oh, yeah.
This is absurd.
He still looks like a smug guy. You get the impression he's got a backup plan in place.
Oh, yeah. Wheels in motion all the time.
You will never escape. System lords will hunt you down to the ends of the galaxy.
Oh, there we go. Now he loses it a bit. Teal'c, Teal'c, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I think Teal'c promised himself, no matter what happens, he will not do anything rash.
Yes.
That guy is a living cliché.
Isn't it nice? We don't have to worry about Tanith anymore, because he's securely locked up.
Oh, yeah, that looks secure. Oh, okay, fair enough. All I could see were the gap.
It's hardly a cell, though. It's just a meeting room with a force field on the front.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a crystal and stuff. That looks like a sort of PowerPoint presentation crystal. You know?
I wasn't aware I was allowed guests. How kind of you to come visit me, Teal.
My presence here is not motivated by kindness. I am here to deliver your sentence as decreed by the Tok'ra High Council.
Death, I suppose.
You are to be extracted from the host Hebron and left behind here on Vorash. If you are fortunate, you will die before Apophis discovers how you've been used by the Tok'ra.
Ooh, that's not good for the symbiote.
Yeah.
Who would be rather happier if you could take a few of them with him.
Mm-hmm.
Your beloved Shannok.
Tanith twisting the knife a bit.
You of all would appreciate how much more satisfying it is to see the fear and pain in the eyes of your victim as they die.
Yes. Teal'c has a nice long speech in response.
This is a grace together. Two very driven men, just trying to vie with each other, get a rise out of each other.
They're not men. One's a Jafar, one's a Gould. I'm picking nitpicking.
I know, seriously. Was that really necessary?
Probably not.
rescuing stranded agents, freeing captured allies. Hundreds of lives were saved by the false information you spread. The Tok'ra owe you a debt of gratitude, Tanith. Were it not for the relative ease with which you allowed yourself to be manipulated, Apophis may have eliminated the Tok'ra.
All they have done is win a respite.
That's a nice point. Actually, congratulating Tanith, and thank you for all your help.
Yeah. Many others. Not by any action of yours. I will watch you die like all the other false gods whose demise I have witnessed.
Ooh, Tix quite seriously. This is great writing.
It is, yeah.
Hathor, Eruer, Cronus.
I'm sure they died with more honor than Shonok. She cried out for you like a baby weeps for its mother. As I slowly extinguished her life.
Attempting to goad me into killing you, thereby avoiding the extraction process. I understand it to be excruciatingly painful for the symbiote.
I like that. Goad me, with a smile on his face. Surprisingly enough, Tanith was never intended to live after Crossroads.
Yes, you said.
Yeah, the initial draft, he died, but they kept him around and gave Tilk this outlet.
Oh, this wonderful sort of Emmy level scene.
And I am inclined to agree.
Nicely done, Tilk.
Yes.
Tilk's doing everything but laughing and clapping. Ooh, panic. Panic.
There was actually a brief panic there.
So they didn't put the force field back up. I say, pity they didn't reverse that shot. At least make it look like they'd filmed some new stuff.
They've got a ship.
Yes.
You'll have to take that to the secondary cargo hold. We need to make room for the Stargate.
Hey! Don't scuff the walls. I want this ship back the way we found it.
We know, Jack. I still don't think it's really necessary for you to be here.
Sorry, not letting her out of my sight.
We've only lent it to the Tok'ra.
Yeah, we just repainted. Don't scuff the walls. You were shooting bullets into them last week.
We've got about 1,000 engineers and scientists just drooling to go through this thing.
You really think that's wise?
Don't start with me, Jake.
You remember when you tried to retrofit a death glider?
Yes, I have that memory.
I'm actually surprised, given Jack's nature, that he's not jogging around the ship for exercise.
Well, unfortunately, the Steadicam operator can't jog backwards that fast. We know how this is filmed.
Yes.
But you wouldn't believe it from what you're seeing on screen. It looks, well, because there's left and right turns. Mm. It's beautifully done. It looks like a huge set.
No, it's not, is it?
No, it's basically just one big loop. But we've seen examples where it does obviously look like they're always turning left.
Mm-hmm.
But here, it's a bit of a right, a bit of a left.
Mm-hmm. In all that time, how many system lords have you taken down?
Oh, yeah. Things have certainly gotten better out here since you started killing Goa'ulds off one by one. Let's examine the results. In each case, more warlike Goa'ulds have stepped in to fill their place. There's more chaos than ever before. With the power Apophis now has, we are on the brink of losing any chance of ever defeating the Goa'uld.
And, of course, they replace the extras while they go round to impression. They're redressing to say, walk slower, crap.
Yes, there's one in front just pulling down whatever he can, sticking all this stuff on the wall.
What plan?
Undermine the Goa'uld's individual power and keep them fighting amongst themselves until we have a way of eliminating them once and for all.
Go on.
We're working on it, Jack.
Yeah, that's a big Tok'ra plan. We're working on it.
Yes.
Thousands of years, and they're really no further advance. The funny about this episode is Jack hasn't got a clue where he is at the moment, because he's casually looking around at all the other corridors, trying to get layout of the place. Never a turbo lift around when you want one, is there?
Don't we have the equivalent with the little
turbo lift? At least there's one on every deck, an arrow turbo lift. Then you just get there, tell it where you want to go.
I will not allow you to kill me. Hebron's life is in my hands. If I am to die, he will die with me.
What is he doing?
This god, Malik McCall,
mm-hmm.
been in Sanctuary, Flash Gordon, Jeremiah, and the TV movie, Ball.
Oh.
And yes, he's gullible.
Clearly.
The prisoner just collapsed.
On general principle, you zat him.
Lower the shield. Lower the shield! You cannot just stand by and allow him to kill the host.
Wow.
Even if he's dead, zat him just in case.
You have the impression she might be a collaborator with Tanith?
He's already dead.
It looks convenient.
Looks very convenient. Why haven't they shot him yet?
They'll regret it.
Yeah, hang on, why don't they shoot him now?
Because he's an idiot. She was played by Anastasia Bradley. She was an extra who actually got a speaking part due to a scheduling conflict.
It's Tanith. He's escaped.
Tanith has escaped. Gasp.
You get the feeling Carmen wasn't 100% confident in running down them steps.
No.
He kind of jogged down. So he's managed to escape the cell, get out the base without nobody else notice him. Well, I suppose except for the alarm going off. And he's a clever little ghoul because he's got his little stash.
Ooh, he's got a communication device.
That's a little one, Tanith.
Size isn't everything.
Apophis has got a bigger one.
Well, so Apophis would have you believe. I just took that rhyme with it.
Tanith could not have escaped through the Stargate. It has been heavily guarded the entire time.
Yeah, what, by the same guys who were guarding him in the first place? No offense.
P90.
Yes, that's it, Jack. Insult your hosts while they're standing behind you. Tilk must be seriously pissed.
Yeah.
Big desert.
I will continue looking.
Keep in touch.
Yeah, I'll be back when I find him. Maybe sometime. Where do we stand?
So how do you guys know where to stand, anyway?
Yeah.
He's right.
Any sign of him?
No, he's still looking.
You guys been up there for hours already.
Yeah, it's a Jaffa revenge thing.
First time we've seen Daniel, practically, isn't he? He's almost not been in the episode.
Yeah, not a lot, no. It's clever, isn't it? You don't leave any sand behind.
No, but interestingly enough, what is she doing with that? Is that the Tok'ra version of a laptop?
Yes, we've seen that before in upgrades.
You gotta wonder, was he busy while this episode was filming doing post-production on the one he directed?
He might have been.
It's a very Daniel Light episode.
Or resting, recovering, never again.
Less than a day. We have to speed up the evacuation.
We're going to send them through the gate.
I thought we were going to take them on the ship.
Sam and I have come up with a new plan.
If it works, we may be able to wipe out a significant part of Apophis's fleet in one shot.
I think we're very deliberately replicating the style of our standard briefing room scene at the SGC.
It does look remarkably similar, doesn't it?
And of course, Sam knows how to operate this.
Yes.
And sure, Sam started going, I like it, can I take it home with me? Dad, it's my birthday.
Yeah, described in the commentary as a totally unnecessary piece of CGI.
It's a season finale, they could splurge.
That's, ambitious.
Every star is a delicate balance between the explosive force of the fusion going on in its core, which tends to want to blow it apart, and the gravitational force of its mass, which tends to want to crush it into a little ball. Now, if we could disrupt that balance by suddenly removing some of the star's mass, we could create an artificial supernova. The blast wave would expand at nearly the speed of light. It would destroy everything in the system within a matter of minutes.
This was the last season on Showtime, wasn't it?
No, 5 on Showtime.
Oh, okay. I shall note that when it comes to the season 5 finale.
Mind you, I think I say something different every time. I'm pretty sure the first 5 were on Showtime.
I am not going to Google an episode.
No, not during the episode anyway.
Well, could you? It's fine.
Wow. That sounds a little crazy.
Yeah.
We take the Stargate and the mothership and bring it as close to the sun as we can. Then we dial the black hole, enclose the gate in a force field, and jettison it.
The sun's gravity will pull it in, the force field will disintegrate, and stellar matter will be sucked through that wormhole like water through a fire hose.
It's likely the gate won't last long, but we figure it'll be long enough.
Excuse me, wasn't the gate on P3W451 sucked into the black hole a long time ago?
Not necessarily. Now, that planet was probably ripped to pieces, but it could take years for that matter to spiral into the event horizon, especially given the time distortion.
The writers, Paul and Joseph, you know, kept going to Brad Wright with ideas in the meeting room. Can we have this CGI sun? Mm-hmm. Can we have death gliders? Can we have a supernova? And he kept saying, yes, yes, yes. So obviously...
And they're kind of going... crap. They stopped asking. They were scared.
I'm going to say, so obviously they had money in reserve, which is why we have some episodes which are lower budget, little bottle episodes. Because they do go overboard with the CGI in this episode. It's a big episode.
Still thinking.
Sir, this solar system is completely abandoned and barren. Apophis's fleet is on the way. And we may never have another opportunity like this again.
Okay.
Well, the fact that this, I mean, we're 18 minutes in, we haven't even seen the SGC yet.
Well, you know, they don't lock Tilk up, have they, in the cell? Or is that the different crystal?
Could be a different crystal.
And does every room have a crystal?
Yes.
Is that the light fixture?
It's the crystal maze.
Moodily lit.
Not as moodily as we've seen. Is it very brightly lit?
I have been informed of Major Carter's intentions.
There's some people who claim if they're not going through the gate every episode, it's not Stargate.
But I don't know. I'd beg to differ.
Well, I do. I mean, the Stargate's a focal point, but it's there in the background all the time, even when they had spaceships and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. I wondered, if the Tok'ra been here for a while, why haven't they taken the Stargate downstairs?
Maybe the gate address is on the System Lord's map, so if it was missing as they casually flew by, they'd be suspicious. Or maybe a Gwald ship can detect the Stargate even if it's buried underground and nowhere to fire.
Mm-hmm. Possible. Speculative, but...
Could just be hard work. It don't fit through the gate, the rings.
That's true.
You failed, Sherlock.
That's not true. You let Tanith live so the Tok'ra could use him, and it worked. And now we're about to take down Apophis and... the largest gold fleet ever assembled.
Unfortunately, Daniel, that argument isn't going to work because Tilk really does want to squeeze the life out of him himself.
That there's nowhere for Tanith to run. This whole planet is going to be incinerated.
If all goes according to plan, yes.
Yes, that was... Yeah, according to Harscope, that's another Tok'ra room.
A reaction, he blinked.
Gasp.
Well, I'd be lying to you if I said I'd never thought about it. That doesn't mean I'd do it, given a more rational option.
Yeah, reason, logic. Not going to work.
No.
In the future, I will not be capable of such restraint.
You're getting through to him, Daniel. Any moment now, he might actually turn and look at you.
No. He wants to stare moodily into camera. This is his Emmy. Daniel is struggling to find a logical rationale to argue against that.
Yeah, considering what he went through for Sharae.
Indeed. Don't frack with me, Daniel.
Giving everybody enough chances to make the most of Tanith being alive. Not again.
Yes, I'm sorry for the whole spot, screw it. Did I see something moving in the background behind the ship there?
I didn't see anything. There might have been someone. Be careful, Jack, you're nearly at the doors.
Cargo bay. We're good to go.
Oh, am I slightly ahead of you?
Jack's just about to, looking at the chair.
Going up to the chair, sitting in the chair.
Sit down.
Shotgun.
Look at it. Up comes a control panel.
Setting course for the sun.
Seems to shift to a different configuration before it goes... they're not going hyperspace.
No. The plan is in motion. They're only just going to blow up a solar system.
Yes.
I'm picking up the fleet on long-range scanners. At current speed, they'll be here in 68 minutes.
The timing has to be precise. Once we're close enough to the sun, we'll slow to 5% light speed and release the gate. That should give us more than enough time to get away.
How much advanced warning is Apophis going to have?
They won't be able to detect the gate on their screens. And they won't know Vorash is deserted until they're in orbit. By then, it'll be too late.
Is this actually the first time they attempt this in the show? In the franchise, I should say.
Yes, in the franchise, because this is establishing the precedent. You know? Characters who we've yet to be introduced. We haven't actually met him yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
No, okay.
Slowing to 5% light speed.
Another nice shot.
Cargo base gravity generators at maximum.
When you do a nice slow pan of a starship like that, it always does look impressive.
Initiating remote dial-out sequence.
More rocky moonlit, possibly. What are you doing?
Ooh.
Here's
pretty.
Stargate. Do we have the shield? Can't you remote dial?
Yes.
That's not a DHD. Oh, it's dialing. I seem to spin awfully quickly.
Nerves, Sam? Oh, that's nice, that is. All CGI, of course.
What's the smash?
It worked. The gate on P3W451 is still active. Engaging force field?
Something wrong?
No. I've never blown up a star before.
Well, they say the first one's always the hardest.
Oh, yeah, it's not real. But I mean the actual hangar bay and everything. That's all fake.
We've put the shieldy thing on the gate.
Opening cargo bay doors. Releasing the clamps. And the gate is away.
She just looked nervous.
She does, doesn't she?
It's so rare.
Dear.
The actual vortex is rotating under the influence of the black hole.
Mm-hmm. It's a good line from Sam. I've never actually blown up an impeller jet there in the gate. So that's what the thing looks like from the back end.
Gate trajectory on course. All right. Time to go.
Yeah, pretty much the same as the front end.
They're just spinning it for the sake of it. I was just like, look what we can do with CGI.
Yeah. It'll only cost an extra $5,000. Can we do it? Yeah, go on.
We can always reuse the shot. Oh, wait, no, we can't.
Oh, who's this? Damn cloaking devices.
Tenneth.
React, guys.
Well, you know, it's like being stung by a small bee when you're...
Well, that small bee seems to be doing a hell of a lot of damage. But of course, there's only, five people on board that ship. I mean, if they're under attack, the shields and weapons would be up within seconds.
Mm-hmm. Shields are inoperative.
Oh, well, that's new, isn't it?
Ooh, this is combat mode.
Acquiring target. It is now Kish. A Goa'uld mid-range bomber.
Must have been cloaked.
Weapons are charged. Returning fire.
That's not good. The shields don't work. I suppose that's what happens in a surprise attack. You take out the shield generators first.
Mm-hmm. Here she comes again, Tilk.
Well, really, Jacob?
Yes.
For noticing.
And it's nice to know that Tilk is just as bad a shot as every other Jaffa that's run the ship's weapons.
Why don't you just fire all the guns at once? You're probably going to hit him.
We've lost main power. Hyperdrive is down. We're sitting ducks.
Didn't seem to do any discernible damage. Oh, that's not good.
No. The sun's going to blow up, and we've got no engines.
Oh, dear.
Why haven't they finished us off?
They took a direct hit. They might be just as damaged as we are.
Hey, who's they, anyway?
I have no idea.
Tactical indicators are down.
Weapons?
Inoperable.
I have to go check it out.
Hey! Whoa! We've still got an enemy ship out there.
Sir, when that gate reaches the sun...
It's not going to make any difference if we get blown out of the sky.
What do you want us to do, Jack? We have no weapons or shields.
Yeah, one little bomber did one hell of a lot of damage.
Yes.
You'd have thought it had gone for the bridge.
Well, they may not have been on the bridge.
Gliders. The ship's got gliders, right?
Of course.
Saddle up, Tilk.
Mm-hmm.
Tilk?
Take out the strategically important bits of the ship. Mm. Yeah. I'm surprised Salmac didn't regrow his hair. Maybe with all these bald Jaffa, snakes like people with their hair.
Come on, Jack. Say it. You just want to go and have a fly.
Yes, Jack.
I can fly a glider.
The Elkesh has a significant advantage in both size and armaments.
Hey, nice pre-flight there.
However, we have superior maneuverability.
That's one glider.
Yes, they had, if you remember, that scene was used in another episode, and they had to paint out the second glider. I suppose it's cheaper than doing a new CGI shot.
Oh, yes.
Jacob was right. The ship appears to have been damaged.
Yeah, let's put her out of her misery. Powering weapons.
No, yes. Why aren't you shooting? Shoot. Don't talk about shooting, just shoot.
Oh, there we go.
Bye.
And what did the boys do? They watch it leave.
Yes.
I know they were surprised.
Yeah. Captain Obvious there.
Jack, what's happening out there?
They're breaking off.
So let them go.
O'Neill, the ship appears to be headed for Vorash.
Now, my betting is that ship's a bit faster than a glider anyway.
Oops.
Or are they just trying to make it a fair fight? Give them a head start?
They could be faster.
Yep.
We must not allow Tanner to escape.
Okay, we'll give the benefit of the doubt and say that the ship's engines are damaged, so they can catch up with it.
Duke thinks the ship might be going to pick up Tanith.
Yes, and Jack is marginally concerned that Tilk isn't going back to the mothership.
No.
But he's playing along, because what else can he do?
Got as much choice. I suppose he could punch Tilk in the back of the head.
I hope he got something more than his fist.
Yes.
It's a Jafar revenge thing.
Yes. Daniel is quoting Jack.
Now, Carter, relax. We'll be back in plenty of time.
Right, Tilk. We'll be back in plenty of time. Buddy.
Keep saying it, Jack.
Pal.
Yes, we'll get to the planet, we'll kill Tanith, and we'll be back. This isn't going well. Throw a pen at him. It worked last time.
Yes, quite.
What exactly does that mean?
We'll stay in touch.
Just don't touch anything, Daniel.
Shouldn't Daniel know what Peltek means? And this is Daniel. If it was Jackie, we go, I have the what? But Daniel should know what Peltek means.
Target is in range.
Weapons locked. Here we go.
Again, nice CGI.
Oh, yes.
Now, my guess is that Jack hasn't seen an enemy mine. Because this is never a good thing to be firing on a vessel when you're entering orbit to a planet.
No, it's not a good thing to be firing on a vessel when you're entering atmosphere.
Got guns underneath.
Yeah, that was a nice CG shot.
I never quite understood that. Tilk must know where its armament is, so why not attack it from a different place?
You're trying to catch up with it.
Yeah, all they've got to do is, you know, pull up about 20 feet and they'll be firing on top of it. So they're underneath. Of course, Tanith now thinks his ride's here until he sees... Oops, that's not good. Oh, worried, it's coming right for me.
Yes, Tanith suddenly starts to realise.
Now, this is the question. If someone's coming towards you like this, do you run away from it or towards it, hoping to get...
Or do you run sideways?
Yeah.
Or do people run along the flight path?
Or just stay where you are, fingering it. It's a million to one chance it actually hits you.
Million to one chances come through 9 times out of 10, you know that. You think I was going to let that one slide? Come on.
Mayday, we are so going in.
That was a little ad-lib from Richard Dean Anderson. So going in.
Jack, I'm not reading you. What's happening? Jack!
It's actually comforting that a Gwold mothership has its main circuitry on another deck, not on the bridge.
Yes.
Otherwise, you know, it's one of the daft things about the Enterprise. Engines were in trouble. Repair the bridge console and the engines will work.
Main power's back online. Weapons and shields are operational.
What about the hyperdrive?
The control circuit is fried. The engines themselves are fine. But we're going to have to reroute through secondary systems.
Well, how long will that take?
We'll have to move fast.
Sam.
Go ahead.
A nice touch with the crystals. They look science fiction-y.
Yes.
And you can actually believe they do what they say it does, but they don't really need an explanation.
No.
It's a control crystal. End of story. And they look pretty.
Well, considering, for example, the film featuring Sean Connery in a banana hammock, entire artificial intelligence was contained in a small handheld crystal device.
Okay. You can start by pulling out the burnt crystals.
But even if it was complete bull from a physics perspective...
There's many that would say that film is complete bull.
It's fun.
It's great. It's a great movie.
You know, Sean Connery in a nappy. They look like familiar rock formation-y... Well, it's probably the same map painting.
Yeah, they made a good effort in merging the actual live location and the map painting.
Is this the ever-shrinking soft flat?
the big giant sandpit? Yes, it is.
Propulsion system and communication array have been damaged beyond repair.
That's good. Because according to my calculations, we are roughly in the middle of nowhere, give or take.
Yes, thank you, Jack, for that amazingly accurate assessment of... Now they're starting to think, why did we take this Stargate? Why didn't we get one off a different planet? Sure, there are others.
Probably none within the distance that they could get there and back before Poffers showed up. I mean, the plan was just to evacuate, and they didn't have time for that.
On which part?
I believe it is this way.
This is so the last time I help someone move.
Always carry a hat. So.
Yes. No, so I wonder if there's that another ad-lib from Jack.
They made sure that he used that phrase again.
Mm. The fact that in Gould it says, warning, warning.
Yes, Daniel, he probably got the idea it was flashing. And here he comes.
Oh, dear. And this is a shot. Why aren't you sort of practically creaming yourself over this shot? It's a very pretty shot.
It's a gorgeous shot.
You know, to kind of phrase, Apophis has a much bigger one than we do.
He does, don't he?
Question is, does he know how to use it?
Yeah, what about Jack and Teal'c?
Apophis' ships are taking up attack positions around Vorash. They destroy us before we even got close.
I'm not going to abandon them, Daniel.
We need to buy more time. If we move around behind the sun, the fleet won't spot us.
The producers went to GVFX, who did the CGI, and actually saw that on a large cinema screen.
Ooh, shiny.
Yes.
I said that, remember? Remember I said, General, this is a bad idea.
I remember, O'Neill.
Let the Tok'ra get their own ship, I said. They don't share with us. Why should we share with them?
I remember.
Yep, that's what I said.
How much time remains before the sun explodes, O'Neill?
Huh?
Oh.
45 minutes.
Then at least we have prevented Tanith from escaping.
Yes, at least we have that.
This location was actually where Mission to Mars was filmed.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the few times the SG production crew couldn't use it because probably outbid.
Yeah, unlike a lot of people, I liked Mission to Mars. That was so much Area Colony, wasn't it?
Yeah, I do not mind it.
No, I'll tell you why I liked it, and it's worth it from a cinematography standpoint. There is about 20 minutes in, one long tracking shot, which covers, in apparently a single shot, the entire ring of the ship they're on.
Yeah.
I thought that was a beautiful shot.
Replace the last two crystals. The whole panel should light up and you should hear a hum.
That's not a hum. That's a bloody washing machine. A hum is a nice gentle hum. Not...
Yeah, it should be around here somewhere.
Indeed. The rings are centered here.
So, now what?
Oh!
Oh!
That's not good. They finally get a Jafar who's actually a decent shot with a staff weapon. Well, his first shot anyway.
Yes.
Jack is better. Yes, but he didn't cover his back.
No, and he got zatted.
Jack, immune to the zat gun.
Well...
He's been hit so many times. Oh, smug grin. Oh, got him.
Kind of gone. I think he kind of ducked back.
No, you saw the blood squirt from his shoulder.
Yeah, well, not on this screen, I did.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm on the old 21-inch 16.9 monitor. Ah, can't be good.
Now, okay, I admire Sam, and she's very intelligent, but how can she be so sure on the timing?
Yes.
Even with the sensors on board a Gould mothership, I don't believe they can actually measure the decay of a star mass to know when it's going to blow.
Apophis is already there. There's no way we're going to get near that planet.
But we have to do something.
Apophis wants the Tok'ra, so let's give them to her.
Calculating at the speed of plot, you know that. Suspend your disbelief. There's a joint CGI ship on screen.
Apophis. Peter Williams.
Well, for now.
You are injured. I will be fine. Where are the Tok'ra? The The attempt to stop their ship was thwarted, however. I have managed to procure a gift which will make the journey seem worthwhile.
That's it, Tanith. Mm-hmm. If you fail at one job, make sure you bring a present.
Yeah.
Probably thinking, not again. I always get given the same thing, and then I lose it, and then I get given it back again.
I'm assuming Apophis has a sarcophagus there. Why isn't the amount of time? Because we've seen Teok die at least four times. Why isn't it as affected his personality?
I think you've got to go through it hundreds of times.
How many times did Daniel go through it?
Daniel, I've been through it hundreds of times. If you remember in Need, that king had gone through it dozens at least. And there we go.
Ooh, that's a nice CG shot with the sun in the background and glinting off all the conveniently identical and therefore a damn sight easier to model gliders. I know about CG modelling, okay? If you're going to do hundreds of them, make them all the bloody same. It's easier to calculate light refractions.
Yeah, and they made sure that they didn't have any figures inside them.
Nope, didn't get that at all.
The fleet is on course. They are heading out of the system. Speed increasing.
He's taking the bait. The fleet is leaving Vorash.
Oh, yes.
It's good that you've got a gullible enemy. Uh-huh. He's chasing down gliders, which are sublight, and they're not going to get very far.
My lord, there are no life signs. The ships are unmanned.
A trick.
Yes, my lord. Clever. Okay, the triangular motif is nice, but on a display screen, I think you need something a little bit bigger.
Sensors are picking up a Hatak now approaching the planet.
Wow, 23 minutes just flew by.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 4 minutes before the sun begins to supernova.
Has Jack been standing there for the last 20 minutes looking for the rings? Mm-hmm. They're around here somewhere.
Yes.
Jack, come in.
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, thanks for checking in.
Yeah, we had a little trouble avoiding Apophis's fleet. Are you in position to be ringed up?
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know.
This is how do they know where to stand?
Well, that's it. I mean, the Tok'ra obviously know because they've been living there for six months, a year. Jack is just standing there hoping.
Yeah, if he was halfway in position, he gets sliced and diced.
Well, if you looked when the Tilt was on the floor and Tanith was standing next to him, they were a good 3 or 4 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get out of here.
My calculations were correct.
There we go. Now, that's moving fast if it's got to that planet so quickly.
Yeah.
Which you'd expect it, but that's not a supernova.
Weren't they in hyperdrive?
Arm the weapons.
My lord.
Oh, he's just noticed.
Oops.
The sun is exploding, my lord.
This is a problem. He's waiting to be given orders instead of turning around and going, just putting his foot down.
Well, that's the problem with Jafar. Good Jafar are trained for mindless obedience.
Yeah, it's not good on the helmsman in life and death situation. And of course, that hyperspace window is very different.
And then we see that.
What just happened?
We must have caught the tail end of the blast wave. It knocked us off course.
Sir.
Hmm.
Where's Teok?
I'm not sure. He's dead.
Jack delivers that in a very flat tone, doesn't he? It's not even emotionally laden. It's just like, dear souls.
If Apophis has him...
Well, we have to go back.
That may not be possible, Sam. The navigational computer isn't recognizing any of the star patterns.
I suppose he could be guessing he's dead, but why take the body?
Well...
I've got to bring him back to life, of course, couldn't he? So, yeah,
well,
so.
Yeah, I mean, this is Stargate. Death is far from permanent. Yeah.
Apophis had revive him just so he could kill him again.
I mean, death is a mere inconvenience in this show. Damn, I'm dead. Crap. I quite like that shirt.
The ship isn't normally capable of going so fast.
It only took us a few seconds to get here.
Given our current position and maximum hyperdrive speed, it's going to take us 125 years to get back.
Yeah, now this could be a problem.
Yes. Did he give the distance yet?
Long-range sensors are picking up another ship.
Well, he said the computer can't identify any stars, but this is how long it'll take us to get back.
Yes.
I'm sorry, if you can't identify the stars, you don't know which way is back.
It's Apophis.
This is stretching the bounds of plausibility a bit.
The fact that...
Yeah, he's arrived in the same place. If an energy wave distorted the hyperdrive window, distort Apophis's but in a slightly different way, and hundreds of thousands of light years, they should so far apart.
But you gotta admit, as a shot for a season ender...
Yes, that is a to-be-continued that wants you to pull your ear out and scream at the TV. Unless you've got the DVDs.
I honestly can't remember. I watched this in bits before I sat down and watched the whole thing straight. I don't think I really watched it regularly, as in every single week as broadcast.
Oh, didn't you?
Until around now. And then I went back.
Well, I watched like Star Trek, Stargate, every episode when they were broadcast. For part of the time, you rather watch it or you didn't get to see it because no VCR.
We actually had a VCR when I were about 12.
Yeah. Right then. That was Exodus, the season 4 finale.
Oh.
Yeah, woo, indeed. Pretty damn good episode, I thought.
Spaceship.
Yep, spaceships, action, people getting killed, baddies escaping, baddies arriving, the good guys in trouble. It's pretty much everything you want. A good cliffhanger. You know, not a cliffhanger that really infuriates you, but a cliffhanger that does its job. There's nothing worse than having a rather dull finale with a cliffhanger. Got entertained for an hour. And you know, season 5 premiere is going to be a kick-ass episode as well.
We'll find out.
It can't fail to be. Yeah, we will indeed. Yeah.
That's it for season 4. The next episode you guys hear will be our recap episode. There's no point in me telling you when it's going to be recorded, because you're not going to hear this episode until about 2 weeks after the recap episode's been recorded, if I'm doing my math right.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay, at which point I will be drinking the Guinness and eating the pig. Yeah, he's moved it to the weekend. I don't know why.
Did you happen to play the little video I put on with the SG-1 theme music with the lyrics? No,
I tend not to look at the site much. I just pay for it.
Well, you could at least have a look.
Well, you could let me know. I do interact with you online occasionally. What the bloody hell is it doing? Oh, I will give a brief plug, because I'm recording that Flash Fiction tomorrow, so I'll mention the website. And I think I'll tail off with, if you want to hear more of my voice, go to blah. Facebook pick badge. I saw a mention of that.
Yeah, you should have a pick badge.
I'm just scrolling. I don't see. Is this obvious? Oh, Stargate theme music with lyrics. I think I've seen this. And it's paused. It's a great big world. Is this actually Joseph and...
Paul, yeah. This was the first thing they wrote while they were on the wage bill.
Yeah, it's kind of... It's hard to get Teok's name into a sort of rhyming couplet. Oh, dear. Yeah, so that was... Sure, Robin and Brad are like, we're paying you for this?
Well, I've got to be honest. I mean, you look at the hires since the opening first season. You got Peter DeLuise. Well, where would this show be without Peter DeLuise?
Indeed. The show would be without Dom, without Peter DeLuise.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that's one consideration from your point of view.
Indeed.
The franchise has developed some incredibly talented people who have gone on, not only going to Atlantis, SGU, but to actually branch out. You look at it and think, it all came from the theatrical movie, which, great movie. I really enjoy it as a science fiction action movie, but it's nothing compared to what the series has.
You know, I think Bruce Rosenberger actually said to me that he prefers the movie. He prefers James Spader's Daniel Jackson to Michael Shanks.
Mm.
And I was sort of, okay. Struck me as that.
I don't say how much of the... Well, it doesn't matter. If you prefer that, you prefer that. That's not a problem.
I don't even own the original movie on DVD.
You don't? Oh, how dare you?
Hey, look, I've got the Atlantis box set that's been sitting here. Okay? Once we come to Atlantis, I can actually watch the episodes beforehand. Ooh, do you think we lose some spontaneity?
I say, I might have the Blu-ray by then.
I am not double-dipping. Not on something this size. I double-dipped on Dark Knight. That were it.
If the price is right, I could be seriously tempted.
I will be single-dipping on Thor. I'll be buying a Blu-ray and I'll go as high as €30 on it because I thought it just looked incredibly pretty.
Yeah.
Although somebody said it, the Rainbow Bridge bit looked a bit disco.
It is a 3D movie, isn't it?
No.
It isn't?
Well, it's available in 3D, but it wasn't shot in 3D, so you're not going to see Molnarkin flying at the screen at you. And basically, it's not worth the extra few bob. It wasn't specifically shot in 3D, and they've done what they can. It's not quite a Clash of the Titans, but...
I was just wondering if it were going to be, like Dark Knight, a mixture of IMAX footage and 35mm.
Oh, it is. from what I can see. I think it's IMAX footage. It's just some of the shots of both Jotunheim and Asgard are just incredible. I think doing Four Seasons of Stargate has led me to appreciate cinematography so much more. And I sat there and looked at it and went, holy crap, that is beautiful.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the cinema I saw it in have gone mental.
In what way?
In that I had just been down to one of the three dedicated comic book shops in the entire country. So I had to drive 2 hours south to the bloody thing and for a free comic book day, where I bought all four volumes of X-Men The Apocalypse, it's a retcon, where Xavier is killed and Magneto is actually in charge of the X-Men.
Ooh.
Xavier is killed before him and Magnus have a falling out. So Magneto is actually the guy that's gathering the X-Men.
Yeah.
It's an interesting twist on it. And Apocalypse has kind of taken over America. And humans are being hunted down because they're not mutant. They're homo inferior. And it's four volumes and it were at $30 each.
It's always worrying. Some things you don't really want to think about.
No, which is why I only got down there.
Sub-City Comics then?
Yes.
Well, we'll plug Sub-City Comics because they're a member of the group.
And then I went to see Thor and my non-straight friend who was with me agreed that the guy actually playing Thor, Chris Hemsworth, is stupidly fucking good looking. But I thought, I'm a straight guy and he looks handsome to me.
In the old days, when the PS3 could connect to the internet, they'd throw down the odd free bit of nostalgia. You know, some of the shoot 'em ups are still good fun.
Well, you see, I bought Midway Class. I read Retro Gamer.
Yeah.
I buy Retro Gamer in my local Eason shop because to subscribe to it would actually cost me 30% more than newsstand prices. Because you guys, your magazine publishers seem to have the impression of there are two regions. There is mainland UK and there is the rest of the planet. And it costs the same to subscribe to Retro Gamer from Ireland, which is somewhere, if you go large, strand rare, quite swimmable, as they do to Australia.
Well, technically it's swimmable.
What, Australia?
It might take you a while and you have to rest up a few times.
You can see strand rare from Larne on a cloudy day. It's less than
2 miles. I get the point.
My personal non-Stargate observation. Game of Thrones, I haven't looked forward to a show this much since Next Gen came on. Now, I know I don't like Next Gen now, looking back at it, but when it were out, I was like, woohoo, new Star Trek. So the fact that I barely escaped missing it, and there was actually a 15-second power cut in the middle.
Oh.
For a freaking ad break. Another personal note, SGU isn't repeated in HD until Sunday.
Ooh, nasty.
On the bad side, I gotta wait. On the bright side, if I wait that long, I can wait another day and watch them back to back.
That is a plan.
Save on my arse. I just want a sci-fi. Although I'll probably end up looking at them on the Tuesday, because to be honest with you, I watch Game of Thrones live.
Yeah.
If you need to email us, the email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. If you need to find the podcast, somebody gave it to you, you got it through an online subscription, we're on iTunes as Gatecast. We're also listed on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. If you want to leave feedback, you can record an MP3 and email it to gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us feedback on the website, that's gatecast.phasecast.com. There is the Facebook group, which is The Gatecast. And finally, you can also tweet us, we're The Gatecast on Twitter as well. Hope to hear from you next week. Enemies Part 2, which isn't what Part 1 were called. Part 1 was called Exodus Part 1, and then it's Enemies Part 2, and I kind of think that's just incongruous. Well, thank you for listening, thank you for downloading, thank you for, although this is going to be time skewed, all the feedback that you got from the episode released on Saturday, May 14th. Was stuff we discovered today. So sorry about that.
It won't happen again, honest.
Promise.
Right, thanks for listening and joining us for season 4. Next week will be the season recap. The plan is Daniel, one of our listeners and occasional co-host, will be joining us for that. Mm-hmm. And then the week after, we'll be kicking off season 5.
Thank you and good night.
Good night. You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.